one-man show today. I gave Holloway the scripture. It's not your fault, Holloway. I think I gave you the wrong scripture. But anyway, it all pertains to this lesson that I have for today. So, first of all, you know, I never realized until this weekend, until yesterday to be exact. You know, we said we are Christians and we know we're supposed to be ready and, you know, you want to do good for the Lord. You know, you see somebody in need, you're willing to help. You go out of your way to do what you can. And we said that we would stand up for the Lord. It never occurred to me, really occurred to me, like, when the time comes, what would you do? You know, we sang this song, one of my favorite songs, as a matter of fact, Lord, send me, I'll go, send me. When I was asked to speak, I was like, send somebody else. But I had to think for a moment, you know, this is what the Lord wants me to do. Yeah, I'm willing to step out on faith and make an attempt. And he's going to have my back, and I'm going to try to do the best I can with his help. I just hope that you all get something out of this message. Now, what you're going to hear today is about me. This is what I came up with. I felt like I prayed to God to give me something to speak about that would be beneficial to me as well as you all. And this is what I came up with. This is what's beneficial to me because I'm guilty. I stand before you all as well as God to admit to the fact that I'm guilty and I need to do better. So this lesson is targeted to me. Y'all just getting to be the audience, so to speak, to hear about one of my shortcomings. My title, I guess you would say, is When All Else Fails, Read the Directions, which means we need to read the Bible more. As I said, I'm guilty. I know a lot of Christians would say, yeah, I need to read the Bible more, and I don't know it like I should. You don't have to know the Bible from cover to cover, verse, chapter, to be able to speak on it and tell someone, oh, it's in this book, it's in this verse. What you need to do is be able to speak what you know. What you don't know, tell them, I'll get back to you. Find it and get back to them and tell them exactly where it's at. Then they can go find it. But we need to take the responsibility of doing that. And yeah, we still need to read the Bible, because when we read the Bible, we know that it's God's word, and this is the way he speaks to us. This gives us guidance, and it also helps us to have understanding. But this is God's word. This is what we are known, or at least I've heard it said, and I like to think of it as a basic instruction before leaving earth. When I have something that goes wrong at home, or my car, or computer, or anything that's sort of mechanical, even a chair or something, sometimes first thing we do now is go to the internet. But at the time, we go to the book, to the instruction sheet, the instruction book, to find out what's wrong with it, what I need to do. We can't do that. If we can't fix it from the instruction sheet or the book, then we go to somebody else, take it to somebody else to see if we can get them to fix it. We have the instruction sheet right here, the Bible. And if we go to that, that would keep us on track before things fail. But when things do fail that's beyond our control, we can still go to the Bible and try to get back on track. Now, I'm not saying that The Bible will fix all your problems, because when we have a loss of a loved one, going to the Bible is not going to bring them back. But it does give you comfort in your heart, especially if you know that they are a person that tried to serve God and live right. You have the opportunity to see them again. It also instructs you as how to you can carry yourself in the way in which you should act to try to tell someone else that doesn't know about God how to get their life in order so that they can live better to see their loved ones when they leave this earth. Now, I'd like to offer a few life experiences of what could happen. You may have experienced things like I have experienced things, and the first thing to come out of your mouth, or it runs across your mind, even if it don't come out of your mouth, is, why this happened to me? Oh, Lord. First thing you say is, oh, Lord. Sometimes you don't even think. You just say it. You experience stuff, and it kind of knocks the winds out your sail. It sets you back a little bit, and we wonder why it happens. We know we're going to be faced with trials and tribulations every day, but when it comes, we're not really prepared for it. I mean, we expect it. We try to figure out what we're going to do about it, but we're still not expecting it. It's sort of like if you get up right now and leave this building, you have a flat tire. You say, oh, yeah, I know this thing's happened, but you're not expecting it. You didn't want to see it. So what do we do about it? Some things we can't just pray away. You can't just say a quick prayer and that fixes everything. Like I said, if you go out here and you get a flat tire, you can't say, oh, Lord, I got a flat tire. And it's going to be fixed. It's not going to happen. But in life, we have problems, situation as what we're studying right now in Proverbs. We try to realize things that we can do. Some can help prevent problems from happening. Some will show us the best way to go about dealing with the problem, because we can make situations worse. Now, in John, if you look in John chapter 5, verse number 24, which I have here, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come to judgment, but has passed from death unto life. As I said earlier, if we lose a loved one or a friend, going to the Bible is not going to bring them back. But it can give you comfort in how you deal with grief. Because we're going to have problems. We're going to have grief. We're going to be faced with that situation at one point or another in your life, and as time goes on, you're going to experience it more than once. Sometimes it's going to hit you harder than others, because some things are closer to you than others, and some people are closer to you than others. And when you lose stuff or you lose a person, it can affect you greatly. And the way in which you handle a situation is what shows the world who you are. And you may think to yourself, well, I don't care about what the world think about me. But you do. Because we wear the name of Christ on us. And we set an example every day. The things that we do, things that we say, we have the avenue to repent, to go back and apologize to God for something that we know that we've messed up on. But with our actions put out into the world, sometimes you don't have a chance to go back and correct that. What a person sees of you, or the way you act, that's what they're going to always see, and that's what they're going to always look at you as. We want to be seen in our best light. So we want to put on Christ and let them see Christ in us. Sometimes that is hard to do, especially if we know that the person that we're dealing with is not favorable to us. And we still have to put on Christ. We say we are one of His. We have to show that regardless of what happens. So therefore, we can go to the Bible and learn from it how we should carry ourselves and the things which we should do in times of problem and of peril, of catastrophes, of unfavorable situations. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. It states, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. To be sober means to be clear-headed and self-controlled. It means to not to do foolish stuff and to be rational. To be vigilant means to be alert for the spiritual pitfalls of life. Spiritual pitfalls. I just finished saying about someone that we know is not, that doesn't have us, our best interest in mind. Could be a coworker, could be a neighbor, could be a family member. Someone that you seem like you can't get along with. We know also that the Bible says, if at all possible, see to it that you get along with all men. I may not say that word by word, but we know that's what the Bible implies. But sometimes you can't get along with all men, especially if they're not trying to get along with you. You have to be vigilant, because it's not the person, but it's the devil that's seeking who he can devour. The devil already has this person that is agitating you. What he's trying to do is get you to fall from grace. Once he gets you to, as we say, blow our top. I've heard people say, I got to lay my religion down. And you know you can't lay your religion down. I heard people say, the devil made me do it. Yes, he did. That's why it's a constant fight, 24/7, to ward off the devil. Because we cannot let him get to us. And yes, it's hard. That's why it's a struggle. But this is where it comes from. Because this is what he does. Satan is our enemy, and he never ceases from being hostile toward us. He is constantly accusing us before God. Because he wants to show, see that he's not all that much. She's not all that much. She claims she is a Christian. He claims he's a Christian. But if I do this to him, he's going to get the cursing, he's going to get the fighting. They just like the rest of these that I got. That's our struggle. 24/7 a day. Because like the devil is at us, seeking whom he can devour, the Lord is right there trying to protect us and making a way out of no way for us. And all we have to do is look for that way. But we can't just say, well, I look, I didn't see it. We have to really do look and try. You know, and I grant you, no, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a Christian. if all you had to do was say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I put money in the plate. If I see somebody on the side of the road, I'll stop and help them. If I see somebody need help, I'll help them. After you decide that they need help, that's not being a Christian. Being a Christian is not easy. It wasn't easy for Christ. And I know for myself personally, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have been able to go through those streets dragging the cross. I wouldn't have been able to take those beatings without saying a word. He didn't say a mumbling word. Oh, I'd have had plenty to say. I couldn't have did it. That's why Christ did it, because none of us, and I venture to say that none of us could have did it. He went on that cross for us. But we say that we are his. We try to live the life to represent him. And we try to show the world to be that example. Now, that was a stumbling block for me for a moment, or for a good while. I didn't want to be a Christian before I became a Christian because I know I wasn't perfect. But I realized later, I don't have to be perfect. All I have to do is try to do the best that I can do. That's why Christ went on that cross, because he knew I wasn't perfect. But I thought, if I'm going to say I'm a Christian, then I got to walk around and don't never do nothing wrong, because everybody's watching me. Well, I got that part right. Everybody is watching me. But I do wrong because I'm human. And I'd be glad to tell anyone, yes, I do wrong, but I repent. I pray to God and ask for forgiveness, and I try to do better. When I was a little baby, I used to do other things that was bad. As I got older, I learned to do better. I try to do better. I'm still a work in progress today, and I'm working on it. And one of my works is to try to read the Bible more. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, let's look at that. 2 Timothy, and it reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Doctrine is what we teach. It has to be the right doctrine. That's another reason why I need to read the Bible more, so that what I say to people that I know, it is the right thing. I can't tell somebody, oh, it's something like that, because then I'm the blind leading the blind, and we both gonna fall in the ditch. I should care more about someone else's soul than to just tell them any old thing. If I don't know, like I said, it's not shameful to say I don't know. What is shameful is to act like I do know and tell somebody something wrong. But I have to learn to read more so that I can tell someone what they may think that is wrong. And if I don't know where it's found in the Bible at that particular time, go find it, and then come back to them and tell them where it's at. Now, when I do that, I let them know, you know, he was sincere. He really meant what he said. I didn't think he was going to come back. I forgot all about the conversation. That shows that I'm trying to do the right thing. But if I just say, oh, I'll find it and I'll get back to you, and then they never see me again, or when I do see them, they wait for me to say something about it, and I act like we never even had that conversation. I need to read the Bible more so that I can instruct and improve the training to someone else if I'm trying to teach them about Christ, so that I can be complete and perfectly fit and adequately equipped so that I know what I'm talking about. Now, I've been in conversations when I knew the story in the Bible, and I was trying to tell somebody about it. I couldn't remember book, chapter, or verse, but I knew about the story, and they knew a little bit about the story. And I'm trying to correct them about what they're saying about it that was wrong. And I'm getting parts of it right, and they are getting parts of it wrong, and I'm trying to correct them. I'm not being adequately equipped. Or I'm making an attempt. I'm doing more than someone that just don't say anything. But am I really helping them? And what am I doing for myself? Because I'm wearing the name of Christ. So that too, I need to work on. When all else fails, we have to be told what the problem is and how to fix it. Sort of like if you're taking a trip and you make a wrong turn. And nowadays, which I got that, it happens to me all the time on my job. I got that little GPS thing. It tells you, before you even realize you made a mistake, when possible, make a U-turn. Go down to this block and turn right. Go to the next block, turn right, come back, turn left. It tells you where to go, how to go. Before that, we used to have a map. Before that, we stopped and we asked someone, can you tell me how to get to so-and-so? I did that one time. I was on another job. I stopped and asked them person, where was this place? It was right across the hill. That's how close I was. I didn't know. I still was lost. But if the person you were asking, they don't know either, then what good is that to you? So, therefore, again, I definitely need to read the Bible more. Read that part. And looking at Acts chapter 17, this is the scripture that I meant to tell you, Holloway. This is not your fault. This is my fault. This is the scripture I meant to tell you to read for today. But I'm gonna read it now, and still, hopefully, you'll get something out of it. All of us. Acts chapter 17. Verse number 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all gladness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. As I said before, if you seek in direction from to somewhere and you ask someone how you get there, they don't know, then they're not helping you. If I read my Bible more, I can be able to tell others better how to find where they need to go. This is my instruction. We all have one. We all can read them. But if by some chance someone gets turned around and they don't have theirs with them, then maybe I can be of some assistance. But I have to read mine to make sure what I'm saying is true. Now, I've come up with a few suggestions to myself as to how I can go about reading my Bible better and being able to utilize what I read. One thing I've realized I need to do is I should pray before I read to ask God to help me to understand what I read. And then I can pray to God after I read so that I can ask Him to help me apply what I read and understood in my everyday life. Because if I read it and I don't understand it, it's no good. If I read it and I do understand it and I don't apply it in my everyday life, it's still no good. So I realized that I need to ask God first to help me, and then afterward to help me also, because I continuously need help. Why? Because as I stated a few minutes ago, the devil is not going to cease. The devil is going to be at me yesterday, today, tomorrow, the day after that, 24/7, as long as I be here, he's going to be at me. So I need to be able to understand and use what I understand to be able to fight against what he has to in store to use against me. I also need to come up with a private place to read and set aside a specific time. That in itself can be a stumbling block, because each day is different and the things that I do each day is different. Now, yeah, I get up every day, I go to work every day, I come home every day. That's the basics. But what I do within that time frame is going to be different. Certain time of the day I did this yesterday, certain time of the day I got to do something else. So I may not have time, which is one of the main excuses that I used. I didn't have time. I'm sorry, Tom. I just realized I didn't turn this thing on. That was one of the excuses that I used. I didn't have time today. You know, I was so busy, I didn't have time to read. I had time to do everything else I wanted to do. I didn't have time to read the Word of God. I thought a few times, what would happen if God said, I ain't got time today. I had to take care of so much other stuff, I forgot to take care of Wesley. I wouldn't make it. I got to do better. Another thing that I know I need to do when I read my Bible, I need to have a nice, quiet place, because I know that this is God's Word and He's speaking to me. I don't need to be distracted with television. I don't need to be distracted with radio. If someone calls me on the phone, I don't need to put the Bible down and talk to them, unless it's definitely a real emergency. I need to tell them, hey, I'm busy right now, I'll get back to you. Because again, the devil is constantly at me 24/7. Now, if I start reading the Bible every day, and I know this is going to happen, there's going to be more things to come up, because I read the Bible at 7 o'clock every morning. You'd be surprised how many things can happen at 7 o'clock in the morning once I start reading the Bible. I may get a phone call. Anything might happen. I like to get called from my job, look, can you come in right now? We need you. I mean, it sounds far-fetched, but the devil's going to be throwing all kinds of things at me. And that's at 7 o'clock, so you know later on in the day he's going to be throwing other stuff at me. So I need to put God first and make sure he stays first for that period of time that I'm going to read. And one other thing I need to do is, because I'm a slow learner, I need to read a passage more than once sometimes. I can't just read over it and say, yeah, I got it, or I think I got it, or I'll come back and read it again later. If I have the time, I can read it again right then. I may have to read that same passage 3 or 4 times to make sure I get the full understanding of what it means. Because if I don't, I would have read a whole chapter and may not have got but part of what God was saying, or may not have understood but a few words of what he was saying. As we had in our lesson today, I may not have understood nothing but my son. And the rest of what he said, all I got was my son. One other thing is, I intend to take my time while I read. Because again, for me, I know I'm a little slow. And this is going to be my plan, to be slow, not to be fast. Because as long as I got the book, I can read it over and over and over again and understand everything I read. It's not like it's a library book where if I don't read it in 7 days, I got to take it back. This is mine. I can take my time with it. So there's no need to rush. Plus the fact, I don't know which day is going to be my last. So everything I read, I need to make sure I understood. And in closing, that was the verse that... No, that wasn't the verse. This is another verse that I wanted to bring out. In closing, looking at James chapter 1, but this is what I had. James chapter 1, verse 22-25. I got that. It didn't sound the same. But be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Hopefully, as I read my Bible more, I will be the type of man that will look in the mirror and remember what I saw. I will be the type of man, not perfect, but I will be the type of man that can maybe tell someone else about Christ. And whatever I say, I know that it's right and it's true. And try to be a help and not tell them something that will lead them astray. When all else fails, read the instructions. That's my lesson for today, and I hope you all will get something out of it. Now we will have our invitation song. If you all will stand.